Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. Again, I want to say thank you so much to all of you who covered for us and all the men and ladies who filled in different capacities while we were gone. We had a lot of fun on our trip. It was good. We got to see a lot of things and do a lot of things. We went to Washington, D.C., and boy, we need to pray for our country. Amen. Oh, man. I showed Brother Worcester yesterday a picture I took. I saw the United States Navy Memorial, and I had to go take a picture beside the flags of the Navy, and I had to show Brother Worcester, you know. Of course, I couldn't find the Marine Corps Memorial. I couldn't find it. It was just too much traffic, you know. But I think the highlight of the trip, now listen, pay attention for a second. Don't go to sleep yet. The highlight of the trip was this. Mrs. Fogg, my wife, your pastor's wife, ate bologna.
Amen. Good, all right.
Amen. And you know what she said afterwards? She said, I'm never doing that again. But she did it. She said before she ate it, she said, you better be glad I love you. I'm eating bologna.
Amen.
Well, you know, that's a simple highlight, isn't it? Yeah, but I'll never forget that. It was life-changing for her.
Yeah.
But anyway, she saw the light. She didn't see the light. She's never going to eat it again. Anyway, I thought it was pretty good, but.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Samuel enjoyed it too. Yeah. But anyway, we're glad to be home, and I appreciate your prayers. And I heard that you only got locked out of the building once. Something like that. Yeah. Anyway, did I tell you Isaiah chapter 40 already? Okay, all right. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you could, physically able, out of love and respect. We're going to read just a few verses at the end of the chapter. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? It's almost like God says, don't you know that? Haven't you heard? Don't you know that? Look, there is no searching of his understanding. There's no end. There's no limit. He giveth power. Notice this. I've got this verse circled and highlighted and underscored. He giveth power to the faint.
Yeah,
I don't know about you, but I often feel faint.
Yeah.
Weak. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength.
Amen.
Praise God right there. We could just have a revival right there on that one verse. Verse 30 says, even the youths shall faint and be weary. Just because you're young, you know, you think, I'm invincible because I'm young. No. Even you, young people, will have faint and weary days. And if it's not for God, except for God's strength, you will utterly fall. That's what it said. The young men shall utterly fall. But, verse 31 is our text this morning.
Amen.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall, not may, but shall.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a promise, church. They shall renew their strength. They shall, that's a promise. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary.
Amen.
And they shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
Those are promises, dearly beloved.
Amen.
I didn't say that. God said that.
Amen.
Let me preach to you this morning on wings as eagles. Let's pray. Father, I need your help. I love you and I thank you. But Lord, I am faint. I am weary. I need your strength. I need your might. I cannot, I do not want to ever stand in this place before these precious people in my own strength. I need, I beseech thee, O Father, please, fill me, with your Holy Spirit. Save the lost soul here today. Encourage, strengthen the weary. God, give might like you promised today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Wings as eagles. I want you to notice again in keeping with the theme of July 4th weekend, an eagle and his wings is what makes him free. If you think about an eagle, a regal beast, an eagle who flies through the skies, soars really, his wings are what make him, give him that ability to soar.
Sure.
His wings give him that ability to fly high above the world. To fly high above the hustle and bustle. To fly high above the Washington, D.C. traffic in which we were for hours. To fly high above all of the confusion and the mess that is this world. He's free because his wings that God has given him, and that's why God says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall soar above all of this mess. They shall be free. America is free because God gave America. Why do you think America's national motto, national symbol is the bald eagle?
Man, yeah.
It symbolizes freedom.
Yes. Amen.
Wings as eagles. I want to tell you a story this morning, and then I'm going to make some Bible applications. But you need to listen carefully to the story, okay? A great bald eagle sat in tranquil dignity on his lookout high above the valley below. The last bit of darkness had vanished, now overtaken by the rising sun. The sharp eye of the eagle had clear vision of every area in his region. Soon he launched majestically from his perch and sailed down over the jagged pine trees and the lakes to his favorite fishing hole. When the eagle arrived, he noticed a slight change. A large rock had been placed near the shore. It was something new, therefore it was something of suspect. He was very suspicious, so he flew over it without stopping and landed on the top of a tree nearby. After peering at the new rock, analyzing it for a while carefully, he was soon convinced that it would make his fishing more convenient. So he sailed down and perched on the rock. Then he saw a large fish lying in the grass. He considered this very strange, again, unusual. If the fish had been near the water's edge, he could understand, but it was up on the grass by the new rock. A very uncommon situation. Therefore, the wise eagle peered suspiciously into the bushes nearby. He scanned every grassy area and cast a sweeping eye up and down the shores. Everything was as it should be. It was as it always had been. So he dropped down from the rock onto the ground. He clutched the fish in his sharp claws. He was about to fly away when he caught sight of another fish. And yet another, and another. These fish were scattered all through the grass along the shore. Across the lake, the sharp eyes of a trapper studied the eagle's every move. This trapper had been offered a large sum of money, you see, to capture an eagle alive. He was a very experienced trapper, and he knew the wise eagle would not be easily snared. On the following day, the eagle returned. He found the supply of fish had miraculously been renewed. This provision, he thought, would lighten his labors. He wouldn't have to fish as much. They were coming to him, and they would give him more time to sit and calmly view his domain. At every visit to the fishing spot, the eagle perched on this rock and devoured at least one fish there before carrying a meal to his nest. I mean, he was living large. His surprise, now pay attention, his surprise and curiosity as to the source of the supply of fish had died out after the second day. In other words, he was no longer concerned about where these fish were coming from, where this rock came from. His curiosity, he was now comfortable. By the time the eagle had been comfortable with the scenario, the silent trapper was ready for his next move. He made a large, strong hoop net and dug the handle into the ground along the water's edge. He scattered fish all over the ground once again, and he went back into the forest. On the following morning, the eagle sat high upon his lookout. He spread his wings and freely flew leisurely to his fishing hole. As he arrived, he was puzzled and annoyed by this odd structure which had been erected above his rock during the night. There was buried, and then there was a hoop, and it was a net above the rock. He at once lifted his flight and began soaring in circles high above the lake, soaring in freedom with his eagle's wings. Higher and higher he flew, trying to make out what was this strange object above the rock. He could see the fish were still there like they always were, but he was perplexed by the presence of the net. After a while, however, he was sure there was no danger in the bushes. There was no danger around the shore, so he descended for a closer look. He decided that he would gather some fish away from the net, and after doing so several times, he was convinced that this strange structure, this net, was not dangerous. When he returned an hour later, the net looked less strange to him. He even perched on its handle. It seemed quite harmless now. He hopped down and clutched one fish under the net and quickly hopped back up. Nothing happened. He repeated the process at every visit. When he returned the next day, he had become even more confident. He now went under the net without hesitation, and he sat on the rock and he feasted on his fish. The next morning, just before dawn, the very subtle trapper tied a rope onto one side of the net, the opposite side of the handle. He crept into the thicket beside the rock and sat perfectly still as the sun rose into the sky. At last, he heard the sound of the mighty wings of the eagle. The wings that were still free, soaring through the air and landing on the rock. Without any hesitation, the eagle came back and began now accepting the rock, the hoop net, harmless. He hopped under the net, he perched on the stone, he began to feast on another fish. At that very moment, the eagle sensed movement in the bushes. A shadow began to appear, and he tightened his muscles in his legs to launch from the rock and spread his wings once again and fly away. But before he could move, the net came down. He struggled. He fought with great intensity, beat his wings as much as he could. He thrashed his beak and his talons, trying to cut, but he was helplessly entangled. The mighty eagle, with wings of freedom, was now trapped and under the control of an unyielding snare. He no longer had control. He was now prisoner. Yep. Number one, what can we learn from this? Hidden dangers have visible evidence somewhere.
Yeah, amen.
Hidden dangers have visible evidence somewhere.
That's right.
America was freed, declared their independence July 4th, 1776. But America, the eagle's wings, is being closer and closer to being completely snared. God's people are becoming closer and closer with every generation, listen to me now, to being completely ensnared, trapped. That's what I want you to understand. And we're going to find out through these thoughts that I probably won't have time to finish this morning. But I'm going to start off by telling you, number one, hidden dangers have visible evidence somewhere.
Sir,
1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Hidden dangers have visible evidence somewhere. Can I tell you this morning, when things were different for that eagle, they were no longer the same.
That's right.
When someone started tampering with his fishing hole, at the first sign of change, he was suspicious for a while.
Yeah.
He was cautious for a while.
Right.
But can I tell you this morning, as we go into this study, understand something. When something is different, it's no longer the same.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Our first notice of something being different needs to be our lasting and never-ending understanding that we are going in the wrong direction. If you go back to the eagle's life, the eagle's routine from day to day was to spread his wings as a free beast and soar through the sky and go down to the God-given natural stream of fish and eat and satisfy his need. And he had freedom to go and come and go and live as God had created him to live. But when he first noticed that something was different, then he should have known and understood that God didn't make those changes.
Right. Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
God didn't make those changes. When something's different, when we begin to see and hear people saying things and changing our Bibles and doing things differently in church and preaching some other gospel, listen, we have to understand, although they may seem to be nice people, although they may seem to be just friendly as they can be, listen, if something is different, then there's a reason for it.
Yeah, amen.
God never changes.
Right,
amen.
The Bible never changes
right.
Unless man changes it.
That's right, brother.
Yeah, amen.
The gospel never changes unless man changes it. Hidden dangers always have visible evidences somewhere. And when you begin to see those visible evidence of change, you need to beware that this is not good.
Amen. Man.
Number two, the most dangerous enemies are unseen.
Yep, that's right.
The most dangerous enemies are unseen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, our battle is not with people, but the Bible goes on to say, but against principalities and powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. The most dangerous enemies are not the people that you're looking at that you think, well, so-and-so, so-and-so. No, no, no. It's the spirit that's in them. It's a spirit that can be controlling their thoughts, controlling their actions, controlling their motives. Because I can act one way, but with a different motive than what you know about, but I know what I'm doing, and the devil knows what I'm doing, and you can be deceived by thinking, just because I'm acting a certain way, but my motive is completely different than what you know. The reason I'm doing something, listen, this trapper was working in the darkness, working and lurking in the bushes, working and lurking in the brush, unseen for a long time.
Sure.
The rock wasn't dangerous.
Right.
But the rock was there because of the trapper. The rock had a motive behind it. The most dangerous enemies are the unseen enemies. The spiritual wickedness. The satanic influences that you don't see. You can't see that, church, but you can see the evidence of it. You can see the results of it.
Yeah, that's right.
I am not your enemy. You're not my enemy that I know of. But if you allow the spirit of the world and the spirit of sin and the spirit of Satan to begin to control your mind, you will become my enemy. Why? Because I stand for Christ.
Amen.
I stand with Christ.
Amen.
And if you begin to let the spirit of Antichrist control your mind and control your thoughts and your actions, you will automatically become my enemy because of the difference of the spirit behind you, behind in you, and it's against the spirit that's in me.
Amen.
But you can't see that.
Amen.
You can't see that by looking at Brother Sammy. But you can see it by his actions and his words. And you begin to see the evidence that things aren't what they used to be.
Right.
Now don't miss the picture. Don't forget what we're talking about here. The eagle's wings kept him free. The eagle's wings represent our country being free. The eagle's wings represent you and me as God's children being free from the bondage of sin and the snare of the devil. So we're talking about how could this eagle have avoided being trapped. And still, he would still be free today. But, number one, the hidden dangers had evidences, visible evidences, that he eventually ignored.
Yeah.
If you remember the story, they never went away.
Right.
The visible evidences that caught his attention first, they never changed. They never went away. He just got, listen now, don't admit he just got comfortable with them.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
He just got used to them.
Yep.
Amen.
The second thing I said was, the greatest danger in this life is always that which you cannot see. The spirit behind it. You must understand, church, what I'm saying. This, number three. This is important. This is vital. I may have to end here today, this morning. Deadly traps. Now listen, don't miss this. Listen. Deadly traps always appeal to our basic needs.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to listen to what I just said.
Amen.
Deadly traps always appeal to our basic needs. The clever trapper knew what the eagle needed. Those fish. That eagle needed to eat those fish lest he die of hunger.
Sure.
The deadly traps that Satan places in your life are going to appeal to your basic needs. They're going to be attractive to your basic needs. Things that you need. In today's society, especially in your younger generation, you young people, the deadly traps of the social media are appealing to your need for social interaction. We're all created with a need for companionship. Nobody likes to be alone. Human beings are created with a need. God even said in the book of Genesis, when Adam was in the garden, He said, it's not good that man be alone.
Amen.
So the deadly snares of this life, this generation, are offering you your basic need of companionship. Deadly traps, deadly snares, always appeal to our basic needs. Satan knows what you need, church.
That's right.
Food. Clothing. Listen, don't forget this. Acceptance. We live with this innate, inbred, natural need to be accepted. Nobody likes to be the oddball. Nobody likes to be weird. You may think I do. Quite frankly, I'm getting used to it more and more every day. But it's not something that I just wake up and say, I want to be weird today. But it's in every one of us, especially you teenagers. You need to listen to me. You want to be accepted. You want to fit in. We as grown-ups, we're still the same way. We just don't think about it quite as much as you do. But we still have that, I want to fit in. I want to be accepted. I want people to like me. And it's a need that's in us.
Yeah, come on.
And so the snares offer that.
Yeah.
The traps offer that. Satan's traps offer you acceptance, offer you your basic needs. Well, let's go back to food and clothing. Well, if I'm going to have food and clothing, my basic needs, then Satan's going to offer me a job that will work on Sunday.
Yeah, come on, that's right.
I can't go to church, preacher. I've got to work. Why? Because I need to eat. Did that come from God?
No.
Well, no, but I what else am I going to do?
Yeah, come on, preach. That's right.
What do you mean, what else are you going to do? There's all kinds of people in here that work jobs that don't work on Sundays.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I can't find one like that. Yes, you can.
Amen, yep. Brother.
What you're saying is God can't.
Yeah.
But God can.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And the snare that the devil is going to keep throwing your way is you have to have this job. You have to work this job. You have to eat. You need to eat. You need to buy clothes. Uh-huh. So the deadly traps of Satan always appeal to our basic needs.
Sure. Yeah, come on.
The fish had to eat. I mean, the eagle had to eat.
Amen.
We all want to feel secure. We want to feel safe. We all want to feel safe. When I'm living by faith, dearly beloved, when I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not going to feel safe unless I'm filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
In other words, it's not natural to you and to me and our flesh to do things by faith.
Yeah.
Right.
Because faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yeah.
The evidence of things not seen. By faith, I do something based on the promise of God that I don't see yet.
Amen.
All I know is God said that.
Amen.
Amen.
And so I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
So, of course, the trapper is going to offer you something that you can see. But it's contrary to the Word of God that you can know and hear and you can obey by faith, but yet you want to be secure and safe, so you do what you can see. Because after all, seeing is believing. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yeah, come on.
The eagle was free. He was soaring high above all of the danger. His wings that God had given him were wings of freedom. Our country today is getting more and more ensnared by the things that the devil is offering us. And God's people, listen to me today, God's people, we are just following suit.
Uh-huh.
We are right along with the rest of
them. Yep, right. Amen.
Your wings are going to be ensnared. You're going to be locked down one day. You're not going to have any more freedom.
That's right.
If Jesus doesn't come back soon, America is going to be in bondage by all kinds, by communism, by socialism. We already are one step away.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. That's what the eagle did. And then Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand ye in the ways and see. And then it says, and ask for the old paths. When he saw that something was different on that, in that hole, at that fishing hole, you know what he should have done? He should have gone find him one
Amen.
That was the same.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I can say it makes sense. There's more fish in the sea.
Amen.
God still is God. He has never changed. He is always the same. And listen, instead of trying to make the trap work, why don't I just go find what God has given me?
Amen.
The old paths, the old way, the old fashioned truth,
yeah.
Old God time religion.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
It worked then, it will work now.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
We've got people today, God's people, whose wings are just bound. They that wait upon the Lord.
Yep.
What does that mean? We'll talk about that more tonight. They that wait upon the Lord. They that trust Him.
Yep.
They that walk with Him. They that do things His way and patiently let Him do things His way. They that wait upon the Lord in prayer, in faith, believing, they shall mount up with wings.
Yep.
They will be free.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Can I tell you? I don't have to tell you, but I'm going to point it out to you and then we're done. They that don't wait upon the Lord will be trapped.
That's right.
Yeah, amen.
Once that eagle was trapped, and I've got more. There's a lot more of these. I guess I'll finish it tonight unless God says. But once that eagle was trapped,
sure,
it was all over.
Yep.
That's right.
Absolutely.
It was all over. I promise you, he didn't want to be there.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
But he no longer had control.
Mm-hmm.
He was no longer in control of his life. The trapper was.
Yep.
Father, I pray this morning for your Holy Spirit. To help us all search our hearts and begin to understand and begin to see and realize where we need to get back to the old paths, where we need to get back to the original, old-fashioned, where we need to be careful to get away from the traps. God, help us to understand these few basic truths. I pray if there's one here this morning, Lord God, that does not know they're saved. If there's one here this morning, Father, who does not know that if they died, that they'd go to heaven. Lord, that you'd arrest their soul. You would arrest their spirit with heavy conviction of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. That you'd bring them to Jesus today. That they'd stop playing games. Lord, I pray for your people that are saved, that are inching closer and closer to being completely trapped, no longer in control of their own lives. God, would you please wake them up? Thank you for a country that's still free. But Father, we are falling. We are descending. We are comfortably allowing ourselves to be overtaken. Please, God, bless this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.